ki. Iskan samstapikacharya shila prabhupad ki. Grantarad shrimad bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath ki. Sri Giri Govardhan ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sankirtan Yajna ki. Sri Rupa Goswami ki. Sri Goridas Pandit ki. Gopremanande. All glories to their Soma devotees. All glories to their Soma devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, text 42. Just give me a second here. Got to readjust things slightly. Anyway, let's try that. Okay, text 42. 3. 24. 42. Vratam sa astito monam atmaika sharano mone nisango vyacharat shonem anagnya aniketana Vratam sastito monam atmaika sharano mone nisango vyacharachonem anagnir aniketana Vratam sastito monam Atmaika sharano mone Nisango vyacharachonem Anagnir aniketana Vratam saastito monam Atmaika sharano mone Nisango vyacharachonem Anagnir aniketana Vratam sastito monam Atmaka sharano mone Nisango vyacharachonem Anagnya Anaketana Matajayas. Vratam, vow. Sa, he. Kardama, astita, accepted. Monam, silence. Atma, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eka, exclusively. Sharana, being sheltered. Muni, the sage. Nisanga, without association. Vyacharat, he traveled. Kshonim, the earth. Anagni, without fire. Aniketana, without shelter. The sage Kardama accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of him exclusively. Without association, he traveled over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Oops. Oh my gosh. Excuse me. It went a little crazy. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hear the words anagnya, aniketana, are very significant. A sannyasi should be completely detached from fire and any residential quarters. A grihasta has a relationship with fire, either for offering sacrifices or for cooking. But a sannyasi is freed from these two responsibilities. He does not have to cook or offer fire for sacrifice because he's always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Oh, Krishna. Therefore he's already accomplished all ritualistic performances of religion. Aniketana means without lodging. He should not have his own house, but should depend completely on the Supreme Lord for his food and lodging. He should travel. Mona means silence. Unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. It is not that because one is a fool and cannot speak nicely, he therefore takes the vow of Mona. Rather, one becomes silent so that people will not disturb him. It is said by Chanakya Pandit that a rascal appears very intelligent as long as he does not speak. But speaking is the test. The so-called silence of a silent impersonalist Swami indicates that he has nothing to say. He simply wants to beg. But the silence adopted by Karadhamma Muni was not like that. He became silent for relief from nonsensical talk. One is called a Muni when he remains grave and does not talk nonsense. Maharaj Ambarish set a very good example. Whenever he spoke about the pastimes of the Lord. Mauna necessitates refraining from nonsensical talking and engaging the talking facility in the pastimes of the Lord. In that way, one can chant and hear about the Lord in order to perfect his life. Vratam means that one should take a vow, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Amanitvam Adambitvam. Without hankering for personal respect and without being proud of one's material position. Ahimsa means not being violent. There are 18 processes for attaining knowledge and perfection, and by his vow, Karadhamma Muni adopted all the principles of self-realization. All right. Let's read the verse again. Vratam saastito maunam atmaika sharano muni nisango vyacharakshonim anagnya aniketana. The sage Karadhamma accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of him exclusively. Without association, he traveled over the surface of the globe as a sannyasi, devoid of any relationship with fire or shelter. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadish Tarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchkalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Rupa Goswami ki, Srila Gauridas Pandit ki jai. Yes, Sri Sri Radharadnath Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So this is advice, particularly for sannyasis, but there's also some advice for everyone. But definitely, at least at the beginning, it's particularly for sannyasis. Anagnya aniketana. Agni, of course, means fire, so anagni means no fire. And aniketana, ketana means a residential place. And, niketana means a residential place, and aniketan means without. Just like we have one god brother in Mauritius, very senior devotee and wonderful devotee, Sri Niketan. Sri Niketan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the place of residence or shelter. Yeah, like that. Place of residence or shelter of Sri Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So, but a sannyasi should be completely detached from fire and any residential quarters. Whereas a grihastha, not only may or is allowed to have these things, but a grihastha has to have these things. Without having these things, a grihastha is not really a grihastha. I don't know what you'd call him. He is just a, homeless something or other. What he'd do with his family, well, who knows? Send them home to grandma. But grihastha, yes, grihastha has to perform sacrifice. At least traditionally, this means involving fire sacrifice. And a grihastha, or offer sacrifice, and the grihastha has to cook. Or at least someone has to cook in the family from the griha, from the grihastha team. But a sannyasi is freed from these two responsibilities. He doesn't have to cook because people provide. And if they don't provide, well, he just carries on. But by Krishna's arrangement, people provide. And people provide lodging. He gets invited sometimes to too many places. He gets invited, so there's no need for making any arrangement for lodging. And I remember living that life before the lockdown. I tell you, it was amazing. It was amazing. Just non-stop. Just non-stop. But for the householders, these things are essential. Both, or either, Prabhupada says, either for offering sacrifice or for cooking. Just before the deity greeting, I glanced at my email, and there was one letter from, if you know her, Mother Mullity, very senior devotee from America. She was here, wasn't she? Was Mullity here? Yeah. Yeah, very saintly lady. And she was saying how when she was running, either she was just the temple president or it was a ladies' ashram, but it was some sort of ashram where there were ladies. There was a number of ladies and young unmarried ladies. And so she explained how one young man who had come over to work from India, from Bengal, he somehow or other had decided that he wanted to marry one of the girls who was living in the ashram. So he contacted his parents who were in Calcutta. This was all going on in Ohio. It's one of the states in the United States. So he was there in the United States, parents in Calcutta. So he wrote to them and, you know, to get permission, blessings or whatever, these types of things. And the parents replied to Mother Mullity, who was in whatever capacity in charge of that young lady. So the parents wanted to know, who is this young lady who our son is interested in marrying? So Mother Mullity had to deal with it. And she wrote, she said, the mother was tough. She was full of questions and doubts and who is this and what this is this and all sorts of things about her background and so on. But Mother Mullity said the father had only one question. Can she cook? That was the one question. You can read it. It's just, yeah, it's, I thought it was very amusing, but very interesting. And then, what happened? Can she cook? Oh yeah. Can she cook? And she could cook. She was a very good cook. And she even knew how to make Bengali sweets. She was like a bit of a specialist cook. So he was informed of that, and he immediately gave his full blessings. Yes. Anyway, I just thought you'd like to hear that. But it's interesting. It's very interesting, actually. So, but anyway, anagnya aniketana is definitely the way of life in a very traditional sense, and even in the sense of today, of how sannyasis live. Generally, you know, yeah, still I'm not cooking for myself. I used to cook for myself once a year when I would visit my parents. I visited my parents for like 20 years or something. And I cooked for myself for about 4 or 5 days. And I really enjoyed cooking, actually. And according to my taste buds, I can cook, okay? If you ask my taste buds. But otherwise, since my mother died, for 10 years, I cooked once. Oh, well, I cook halava occasionally for demonstrations. But I cooked once in Pietermaritzburg a few months ago. Otherwise, I haven't cooked for 10 years. And traveling just nonstop. It was amazing. Basically, with no fixed abode of any sort. Times have changed, of course, now. For the time being, let's see. So Kardama wanted to live like that. Well, not just wanted, he lived like that. Now he's left home. We just read how he requested the Lord if he could leave home. And it seems that the Lord gave his permission. The Lord, it seems, gave his permission. And now he has left home, and now he is there. He's just traveling around with all these special arrangements. Anagnya aniketana, excuse me, and, oh Krishna, this stupid thing, I tell you, it's just such a nuisance sometimes. Vratam saastito monam. He also took a vow of silence. Yes, he took a vow of silence. And like this, he traveled around, and the idea was, oh my gosh, you know, this internet is not working well, I tell you. We just got, OBS just got disconnected, Zoom just disappeared. Anyway, I'm just going to carry on because it's a bit too much. And I'll put up, a video is still going on, so I'll put up a video, people can watch it. So these three things, a vow of silence, then, oh, we've lost the internet. There is no internet. Krishna, Krishna, don't ask me. I'm going to carry on. I am going to carry on regardless. So he carried on traveling around like this. Vow of silence and no fire, no residence, no cooking for himself, no residence. And there was specific reason that he did that. The reason is not simply that, not simply that he wanted to be austere and just deny himself that sort of thing. But the reason was that he wanted to facilitate his hearing and chanting about the Lord. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to facilitate his hearing and chanting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and avoid these distractions. You know, there are different stories about people who are meant to be sannyasis and meant to be free of all these obligations and in that way able to focus without distraction, or at least with a minimum of distraction, to focus on their Krishna consciousness. There's the famous story of Puna Mushika Bhava, which Srila Prabhupada told on a few occasions. You're probably familiar with that story, Puna Mushika Bhava, famous story. That's a famous story. There was a sage living as a sannyasi, and he was so much into austerity. It started again. The internet went down anyway. These things happen just to remind us we're in the material world. Because, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay has transcendental television. In Goloka Vrindavan, the internet never goes down. Yes. So anyway, that fellow, he had two pairs of underwear, and that's what he had. And that was it. And he would change from one into the other and then wash the one and let it dry, and then later on he would change into that and wash the other, that sort of program. And that was it. But he felt that this is a bit awkward. I have to wash my underwear. You know, I need someone to help me to wash my underwear. Then I'll just be completely free. I mean, I'll have to change the underwear, but I won't have to wash it and hang it up and check it and all that. So he went to ask one of his friends in the nearby village, "Can you help me?" And the friend said, "You need a wife. She'll wash your underwear. And then you'll be free." So he thought, great. And the friend told him, "You know, I happen to have a spare one available. So here, take this one." And he did. And the first day she washed his underwear. And he felt, wow, this is great. And cook too. Yeah, he felt this was wonderful. Now I'm free. I don't have to cook. I don't have to wash my underwear. But then, a little later on in the afternoon, the wife came and said, you know, I need a new sari from Poppet Lowell's. I need a new sari, so you got to get me a sari. And so now he had to get involved with that. No, wait a minute. Let's just backtrack. First of all, yeah, what was it? The mouse stole the underwear. So he got a cat to chase away the mouse. The mouse needs milk. That's a distraction. He got a cow. Now the cow is supplying milk to the cat. That helps. But the cow needs to be milked. So now you need a wife to milk the cow and wash the underwear, I suppose. And now he was fully engaged. He was fully engaged, and he couldn't meditate. So, anyway, this is not Puna Mushika Bhava, is it? So, then he just decided to give everything back and just somehow contend with the mouse, possibly stealing the underwear sometime, like that. So, yes. So there are different stories of, and Puna Mushika Bhava, well, it's sort of related indirectly. People becoming entangled, people becoming attached, when actually they should be living very simply. So his idea, Kardama's idea, was not just to live a life of austerity, but his idea was to be able to focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he adopted these programs in life, Anagnya Aniketana and Maunavrata. Prabhupada makes the point that it's not that because one is a fool and cannot speak nicely, therefore he should take a vow of silence. Rather, one becomes silent so that people will not disturb him. Maybe you've had experience yourselves as devotees. I've had experience of having to associate with relatives. And because they're relatives, they want to talk to you about things, just very general things. And I just felt embarrassed. It was so difficult to get into such conversations. It was so difficult. Yeah. and you can see so clearly how these things are just distractions from what is worthwhile subject matters. So therefore, someone may take a vow of silence possibly, or even, Prabhupada explains that to only talk about Krishna is effectively a vow of silence, at least in terms of things on the material level. And otherwise, the so-called vow of silence of an impersonalist Swami indicates he has nothing to say, rather he wants to beg. Rather he wants to beg. Yeah. So the silence of Kardama Muni was not like that. He's Muni, he's Kardama Muni. And Muni indicates, one is called a Muni when he remains grave and does not talk nonsense. And Prabhupada gives a very good example of this was Maharaj Ambarish. He only spoke about the pastimes of the Lord. So Mona necessitates refraining from nonsensical talk. and engaging the talking facility in the pastimes of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I get hassled by these things and I sort of lose